Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office at 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. If I could package peace of mind and sell it, I would be a billionaire, because everybody wants it and everybody needs it. It must be important, because in Romans chapter 5 and 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It must be important, because in Philippians chapter 4, it talks about the peace of God that transcends and supersedes human understanding. And it says that peace will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It must be important, because in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible talks about the elements of the fruit of the Spirit. And one of them is peace. We all need it. And sadly, most people that I know and that you know don't have it. I think the problem is that we don't know where to get it, because we're constantly trying to do things in order to get peace. And you don't get peace, you receive peace. And you receive it from Jesus Christ, because He said, my peace I give to you. You can't take a course, you can't go to a conference, you can't go to a symposium, you can't read a book, you can't listen to a CD and get it. You must receive it personally from Jesus Christ. I want to share with you some things that will help you to maintain that peace. First of all, let me tell you that there are three things you can do that will prevent you from having the peace of God. Let me tell you those. There are three of those things. And the first of these is blame everybody else for your problems. The second is complain about everything. And the third is never be grateful for anything. So here are four things that will help you to maintain your peace. Number one, know that God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, the thoughts that I think towards you are thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. Number two, eventually, everybody say eventually, God will bring you out of your storm. He will calm your storm. In the fourth chapter of the book of Mark, when the storm was raging and Jesus got up in the boat, with one word, He calmed the raging storm. You know what that one word was? Peace. Number three, remember whose you are. You belong to God. Number four, God will not allow you to go through anything by yourself. God says, I'm with you even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't be afraid. I believe that there are three things that you and I must do in order to receive God's peace. Are you ready? Number one, learn to accept God's pardon. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John had written the entire Gospel of John when he looked back, and in retrospect, chapter 20 and verse 31 said, "But these were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Accept God's pardon. God has forgiven you. Now forgive yourself. That's hard to do, because what are we always doing? We're bringing up the past. We're dredging up our past sins. We're talking about our failures. I can't make it. I know that I failed, and I'll fail again. And you've tried, and you failed, and you tried, and you failed, and you've tried and failed so many times, you don't even want to try again. But I'm here to tell you that God has a plan for your life, and God loves you so much that if you try and fail 70 times 7 in one day, God won't stop loving you, and He will never stop giving you another chance. Sometimes we get the idea that God is like us. When God created us, He made us in His image, but He is not made in our image. We're short-tempered, we're temperamental, we're unforgiving, we can be hateful. And God says, "I love you so much that you just don't understand how much I love you," and that love doesn't change, and it doesn't depend on your good behavior. God doesn't love you because you're good. He loves you because He's God. We want to somehow convey to others that I'll be good and you can love me, and if you'll be good, I'll love you. And that's not how it works. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible said Christ died for the ungodly. I don't understand that, but I qualified. And so when God loves you, it's not because He sees something in you that's so good that He couldn't help but love you. It is His nature to love you. He created you. He loved you so much that He gave everything that meant anything to Him. And Jesus died on that cross because He loved you. And that's why all you have to do is come to Him today. You don't have to be good. You just have to be willing to come to Him. Does this resonate with anybody here today? I don't know why people think that church is just for good people. Church is for desperate people. I didn't get up in the rain this morning and say, "Well, I'm going to church because I'm so wonderful and that's just the way I roll. That's who I am. I'm a wonderful person." I woke up this morning, looked out the window, and it was raining. And I thought, you know, why is it that we believe in water baptism and we sing showers of blessing, but when it rains, we stay home? I mean, this is our time, folks. Amen. But I said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm going to go to the house of the Lord, not because I'm good, but I cannot make it without you." Accept God's pardon. He did the hard part. When Jesus marched up Calvary's lonely hill and laid His life down, became the sin substitute for all men of all ages throughout all of time, He did the heavy lifting. All you have to do now is believe on Him, and you can be forgiven. And that's the first step. You say, "Well, you know what? I know I've messed up before." Well, who hasn't joined the club? We've all messed up. Turn to somebody and say, "You messed up. You know it." I mean, even since the time you gave your heart to Christ, you might have been a child, but there were times when you needed to ask the Lord to forgive you and to help you. "He restores my soul. If I never mess up, what is the need for restoration?" Amen. And He loves you, And yes, he wants you to live a consistent and a holy life, because what that does is it opens your life up to all these wonderful things that he wants to do. One of the things that happens when you mess up is the devil will come alongside and tell you you're not worthy to receive anything from God. And you say, yeah, you're right. God will give you the grace to sustain you and to help you, and you'll grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll put on spiritual muscle, but that shouldn't stop you from coming to him in a crisis, because you are a needy person. And that's what the church is all about. I've heard people say, I ain't going to that church anymore. There's hypocrites. Well, there's hypocrites in Walmart, but you still go every Saturday. I know, because I saw you on that video. We are the people at Walmart, and you were on there. Hello, Pastor Sam here, breaking into the message to tell you about our Super Summer Electives. This summer, in our Family Enrichment Night Service, which starts at 7 o'clock and ends at 8:30, we're packing more into our Wednesday Night Family Enrichment Night Service than we've ever done. And let me give you a rundown. I'll be teaching on the Balanced Church in the Main Sanctuary. But we have an elective on abortion. What is it and how to stop it? World famous author Terry Beatley will be with us in one session each month. This continues throughout the summer. Then we have another session. We call it How to Raise Godly Children in an Ungodly World. Here's another one. How about how to have a happy marriage? And then many young Christian couples have been asking about this kind of course, and now we're pleased to present it to you on Wednesday night. It's called The Christian and His Finances. It is a Dave Ramsey course taught by a person who has been a financial advisor for over 25 years. So it's going to be a wonderful lineup. And in addition to that, we have something for every age group and every member of the family, with Royal Rangers for the boys and Missionettes for the girls, and a dynamic youth program for teens. So be sure to check it out. And also remember that our Hispanic church will meet in the chapel as well. So I'm really excited about this Super Summer Elective Series, and you can be a part of it. So make sure that you're in attendance. That's Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. I'll be looking for you.
Number two, you ready for this? Learn to live in his presence. In the presence of the Lord, Psalm 16:11, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. My wife and I went on a date the other night. We don't get an opportunity to do that very often, and that's my fault. I'm sorry about that, honey. She left me. I knew I should have done a better job. But we were walking down Carey Street, and we had a nice dinner down there. And I said, honey, if you could go back, it's been 47 years now, and you could go back to the beginning, what would you do differently in our marriage? She thought about it. She told me some things. She said, well, what would you do? I said, I would be more aware of you. See, we're together a lot, but I confess to you, there are times when we're together and I'm not even aware. You say, what do you mean? Well, you take somebody for granted. Some of you know, because you've lost a companion. And you say, oh, if I could just be with her again for 5 minutes, or if I could just be with him. I'm going to suggest something to you, and I could be way off base, I don't know, but I kind of think the reason people have an affair is because their companion takes them for granted. One thing I've observed about people when they cheat, it's like that person they're cheating with, oh, I love you, oh, you're so special to me, and I'm not looking at anybody else, I'm looking at you. I'm not talking to anybody else. I'm talking to you. I'm focused like a laser on you. After all the people that I've talked to over the years, it seems to me that's why. I mean, people will cheat on their wife, and their person they're cheating with is not any prettier. Person will leave their husband, and the person they're cheating with not better. It's just different, right? Because now somebody's paying attention to me. And so I repented. I said, I'm sorry for all those times I've taken you for granted. Now watch this. You say, what's that got to do with God? Every good thing that's ever happened to you, God was responsible for it. And in every situation where you've been blessed, God was there. Were you aware that He was there? And that's not all. Every time you thought you couldn't make it and you were about to collapse, guess who was there to hold you? Come on now. And every time you wandered so far away from Him, you thought you would be lost forever. And you thought there was no way back. And guess who showed up and took you by the hand and said, come on back. Every time you messed things up so bad that you thought you were going to lose everything, God stepped in and said, come on, there's hope. Get up. Come on, you can make it. Keep going. It didn't just turn around. It didn't just happen. God made it happen. But you weren't aware of His presence. I'm guilty. I know you're guilty too. I want to be aware of His presence. You know why I come to Monday night prayer? Well, I'm a man of prayer. That's God. That's who I am. I'm a man of prayer, and I needed to preach God a sermon and tell Him what to do. Because that's what we do sometimes, especially if somebody's listening. It's like, watch this. Oh God, Thou knowest. And it's like, wow, they can really pray. You know why I come to prayer? Because I cannot make it for one moment without Him. And I promise you, tomorrow night, I will not be in that altar 5 minutes until He overwhelms me. Until I know that He's got me in His arms and things begin to come out of me from my innermost being, and I begin to say things to Him, and I begin to love Him and adore Him and worship Him, and things begin to bubble up out of me, and I hear myself saying it, and it's simply because I am now completely and totally aware of His presence. But He has been with me all through the night and all day long. When our daughter was little, and we only had one child, she was something else. She was a pistol ball. She was a trip without a suitcase. And she hasn't changed much. I remember when she was 12, we used to take her out to dinner every Sunday, and she decided she needed to have a friend now. So now we got to take her and her friend. And sometimes there's a couple of friends. And we go to a nice restaurant, and I remember one time, she's 12 years old, and she whispered in my ear as she went in the door of the restaurant, Dad, my friends and I are going to sit at another table today and pretend like you don't know who we are, okay? I said, that'd be fine. Just go, you go get your table and it just, I don't know you. Who are you? I don't know. So I could see her over there acting all grown up, and they're laughing and giggling, and they've ordered off the menu, which is a big deal for a 12-year-old, you know. So they get their food. And then the waiter comes back and gives them the bill, and she points over there at my table. So he brings it over, and I look at him, and I said, where'd that come from? And he said, over here, this girl here says, I don't know her. And I could see her in a panic. And she got up and walked over. She said, what are you doing? I said, who are you? Dad, cut it out. You told Dad, who's Dad? Who are you talking to? But there were times when we'd be together. I got an old car I've had since 1988. I've taken her to King's, they call it King's Island in Cincinnati. It's King's Dominion here. Amusement parks and water slides. She'd sit over there and have the top down on that car and that ponytail popping in the breeze. She made me happier than she could possibly know. And I always enjoyed being with her. Always. I think it's time for us to get back to the place where we start enjoying His presence. Amen? Some kids, I'm going to church today. Well, why? I don't want to go to church today. Well, how old are you? I'm 11, and I'm staying home, and I'm not going to church. You know what? My father invented time out. You remember that? Time out. People get, you're going to get a time out for that. The time out was the amount of time I was unconscious after I told my dad no. And then I would wake up and like, where am I? And he invented time out. The reason they tell you that with impunity is because you have communicated to them that church is not all that important anymore. And when it no longer becomes a necessity, they no longer feel the need to go. Maybe you need to go back and tell them, I'm sorry that somehow you misunderstood because I need to go to church. And if I need to go to church, you need to go to church too. Because the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I need something that you can share with me. You need something that I can share with you. And I can't stay away from church and be everything that God wants me to be, because it's here in this place that His presence really becomes near and special to me. Oh, I can pray anywhere. I can pray in the woods. When I'm out horseback riding by myself, I can pray out loud and nobody hears me. Maybe a squirrel or a rabbit or somebody like that, but there are no people around. But I can pray and talk to God and praise God. But you know something? There is nothing that can take the place of corporate worship. There is nothing that can take the place of what we've done this morning as we sang together and prayed together and worshiped together. But God wants you to learn how to enjoy His presence. So accept His pardon. Learn to enjoy His presence. Live every day in the presence of God. And here's the third thing. After you have accepted God's pardon and after you have learned to live in His presence, you should fulfill His purpose for your life. Isaiah 43 and 7, I have created you for my glory. Are you living for the glory of God, or are you living for yourself? I mean, it's wonderful to be a Christian. I saw yesterday on Facebook where our couples, our young couples, went to Pocahontas State Park on a hike. How long was the hike intended to be originally? Will? 2 miles? 3 miles. And they ended up walking 5.7 miles. Do you know why? Because Will was leading them and not Asia. Because women will stop and ask for directions. If Moses' wife had been leading the children of Israel, they would have been there in 3 weeks instead of 40 years. Iron sharpeneth iron. We've got a men's breakfast coming up here soon. If you haven't been to that, you've missed out. Not just because there's a great breakfast, but because you, yeah. That must be the guy that made the breakfast right there. But there's an opportunity for you to talk to other men that have been through things you're going through or maybe are going through those things right now. And you can get some feedback from somebody. You'd be surprised. Just think of anything that you can do in this church, and it will enrich your life if you do it. If you're not doing anything, you're not being fulfilled until you discover that membership without ministry is meaningless. You're just going to be kind of wandering around.
Find something that God wants you to do.
Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.